come, 21 days until we step into that beautiful remembrance of what you have done for us. You gave your life and you rose from the dead. You conquered death, hell, and the grave. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every addiction shall bow. Every sickness and disease shall bow to the name that is above every other name. We give you thanks and praise and give you all the glory for that today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, amen. Come on, can you put your hands together for the Lord one more time? Come on, he's worthy of our praise, isn't he? This morning, I wanted to talk to you, and I had told Erin this. She helps me with the PowerPoints and the creativity of some things. But as I was praying, I saw this. It was like a black wall with all these different names on it of things that we have hindering in our lives, whether it's fear, resentment, unforgiveness, negativity, and that I felt like in this season that the Lord wanted to help us to extract some of those out of our lives and to help us advance forward into the purposes and the callings of what he has really laid on our heart. And I believe that there are seasons in our lives that we make the choice. And when we make the choice, significant movement happens in our lives. When we make a choice to let some things go or to allow God to conquer some of these areas in our lives. When we do that, when we make that decision, and then when we do the work that it takes to see it to come to pass. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to ask God to help you and to change your life, if you're struggling with an addiction, you will go through a season of working to move on the other side of it. And don't let anybody tell you any other thing. Don't let people tell you that, you know, this is always going to define you and you're going to die young too. I don't believe that. And I want to say one more thing about that. You know, and I know people, they mean well, but they use these little folklore little sayings like, oh, go fly high now. You know, now they're finally at rest. And if they knew Jesus as Lord and Savior, they are at peace and they are at rest. But can I tell you something? That far too many times that the devil himself is strangling the destiny and the life off of these young people and keeping them from living their life with the fullness that God had intended them to live. You know, I know you might, some of you, that might be difficult, but I want to change your thinking. Instead of us just accepting that this is a part of our culture and this is the way it's got to be, no, we need to weep and to pray when these things happen. This needs to touch our heart in such a way that we will do what we can do to see that transform. You may be here and saying, well, you know, thank God I've never had an addiction and I never will. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't let you off the hook for praying and believing God to set other people free. Are you listening to me today right now? I'm telling you something that's truth and right and worthy. And that we need to move in that direction and move forward so that God can lay his hands on people and see them changed and transformed for his glory and for his honor. I've too many people that I've just seen, their lives, their purposes, they've been cut short. Somebody said that the graveyards are filled with the greatest potential that has ever been released into the world. People die. They were created to write songs, to write books, to create businesses, to do things, to bless not only the kingdom of God, but the world and the others around them. And because of the enemy finding a foothold into their life, he takes them and he destroys that life. And I'm just encouraging each and every one of us today that God wants you to work towards the destiny that he's called you to. And this is a perfect time of the year to really reflect on that and to think about that during the season, what is called Lent, the 40 years up until the resurrection of Jesus, or the 40 days, rather, up until that resurrection of Christ. The world some traditions say, well, all I have to do is give this up for 40 days, and then I can go back. And nothing could be further from the truth. If something is harming your life, don't just stop it for 40 days. Stop it. But you can't do it in your own strength. You need God's power to help you with that. And I am convinced today that no matter what it is that we are facing, when we make Christ the Lord of our lives and He comes in, the Bible says that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it lives inside of you. And if it has the power to raise up Christ from the dead, it has the power to lead you into the purposes and the plans that God has called for your life. Come on, say amen to that this morning. That is the Lord this morning. And He wants to do that in you and I. You may be here and maybe in a different stage of your life, I don't know. But you can take this season of your life, you can renew your focus on Christ. You can engage in devotions to Him. Maybe some of you have never read the Bible from cover to cover. You can begin a reading plan. You can renew your commitment in life to the things that please God. We all know what that is in our own personal lives. But this time, the purpose of Lent is to draw us closer to Christ through a desire to do God's will and to commit to His purposes for our lives. And this may be the time for your life. This may be your time. This could be a season of the greatest release that you have ever had come into your life. I believe that. When I was writing this down, I was just so excited because I just believe in my heart that somebody is going to look back at this moment in their life and they're going to say, that's the time when God launched me forward. This could be a time where you'll see that some prayers that you've been praying be answered in your life. Sometimes when we pray them, we don't see them right away. We can become discouraged. But God knows the time that He wants to release what you ask Him for to come alive in your life. Craigie Conover, you can thank him. He came early this morning and cleaned up the parking lot. The city usually does it, but sometimes they don't. And I just don't want you guys to get your shoes dirty walking in. So Craigie cleaned it up, and I said, thanks. And he said, I'm sick of the snow. This is the guy that plows for a business. He said, I'm sick of the snow. I said, it's your fault. He said, why? I said, because God is answering all those prayers that you were praying for at the snow. He's not stopping it yet. But you know what? That's kind of the way it is. That all of a sudden, God will start answering our prayer. And we'll think, where is this coming from? How did this happen? And this could be the time of your life that will take place. You will see miracles in your own personal life. See miracles in your family that you've been asking God for. My goodness, I felt something just come over me when I said that. Some of you, you're praying for people in your family. This is a season where you can see the miraculous come together in your family. Did you hear what I just said? Some of you just need to reach out and receive that. Some of you got parents, you got sister, brother, you got children that are away from God. If you will press into the plan and the purposes of God during this season, you will see a miracle happen in your life. You will see a miracle happen in your family. But He wants you to engage in that process that moves you in that direction. You can't just sit back in your chair and say, well, you know, if it's going to happen, it'll happen. Somebody else will pray or somebody else will do it. No, He's calling you to get out and walk in that direction and move towards that destiny that He's called you to. Some of you are already, you're in the middle of it. You're experiencing some beautiful things. And I say to you, great, but can I just inspire you today that God wants to take you up another level in your walk with Him? He wants to lift you up a little bit higher. He wants to take you further than you've been before. I hear Aaron up here talking about giving tithes and offerings. And, you know, I've been doing that since Patty and I were married over 40 years now. You know, in this season of my life, God is calling me to do more. He wants me to do more in the area of giving. And that's okay with me, because never before have I ever lived in a moment of my life where I trust Him more. Everything I have belongs to Him. I'm just a steward of it. And if He gave it to me, He can use it through me, and He'll bring more where that came from. Amen today. But you got to make the choice. You got to make the decision. You can't just sit around waiting for the right moment. The right moment is right now. And I saw this image with all these words on it, and I just pulled a couple out of it that I wanted to share with you this morning. One of them was the word procrastination. Although the word itself is not found in the Bible, this is a decision that keeps many people from God's best in their lives. And simply defined, procrastination is the act of, look at, willfully delaying the doing of something that should be done now. Willfully delaying. You know you should. You know that God is drawing you. You feel His presence, but you willfully delay. Say, well, I'll just wait until another day. You know how many times people have said that to me over the years? Well, you know, I'm not quite ready right now. I need to be led. I had this pastor friend years ago. He used to carry, that was a big thing, Christians used to say, I haven't felt led to do that. So he got this big hunk of lead in this thing, and when people would say that to him, he'd pull it out of his pocket. He said, go ahead and rub on it. They'd say, what is that? Lead. Feel it. Do it. Don't wait. Now is the time. For some of you, it's been a habitual part of your life, procrastination, waiting. And what happens when we don't do what God calls us to do and we delay that? Listen to this. We miss the experience that He has intended for those moments in your life. This is so important. You need to write that phrase down. When you delay, when you procrastinate, you miss the experiences that He has intended for those moments in your life. I pondered that last night sitting in my office, and I was just thinking about those times that I went and I did what I really didn't want to do, but I felt this leading of the Lord, and I said, okay, I'll do it. You know, I remember the first time I went to Africa. I didn't want to go, but I felt this leading to do it. And then when I got there, I'm thinking, now I know why I didn't want to come. The smells, the dirt, just the horrendous conditions, but I'm going to tell you, God gave me moments. He gave me moments that I remember to this day. I remember standing before a crowd of 4,000, 4,500 people in a night. Nobody, they didn't have chairs, they didn't have pillows, they didn't have somebody handing them a cup of coffee or a cookie on the way in. This was dirt. There was a couple light bulbs. It was smelly, it was dirty, and there we were. And people were coming to Jesus. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, it was about a 14, 15-year-old boy that come walking up to me, the front of his shirt soaked with tears, no shoes on his feet. You could see scabs all over him. I don't know what was going on, but he was just looking at, and he was weeping. And that was seared into my conscience. That was a moment that I'll never forget. Had I not, and I could go on for hours telling you, times and places like that. When you delay what God has called you to do, you miss the moments that He has created for your life to experience. Some of you, maybe today, you're procrastinating. Maybe it's just in the area of serving. Say, well, that's just not for me. Somebody else can do that. And maybe God's calling you to do that so you can experience a moment. Maybe for some, it's you just been arguing with somebody and you're there. Oh, I'm going to wait till they come to me. But Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there, remember your brother has something against you, you leave the gift before the altar and you go and be reconciled to your brother and then come back and give your gift. No procrastination there. He says, do it now. Because some of you, you're sitting here right now, you're listening to what I'm saying. You say, well, yeah, I'll do it someday. I'll do it someday. And James 4 says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, will go into such and such a town, will spend a year there, trade, and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? He says, you're but a mist. You're going to be here today, and then you're gone. And God places you and I on this earth so that we just don't consume life to ourselves, but we're born to give our lives away. And in the moments that you give your life away, you find your life. Oh my goodness, this is blessing me. You must still be tired, or Bruce and Peggy, you didn't give people enough caffeine today. I don't know what it is. Hebrews 3 verse 12 says, take care, brothers, lest any of you an evil and unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from a living God. There's all kinds of reasons that we don't respond to God when he calls us to, but none of them are good. He said, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called, when? Today. That none of you should be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then in verse 15 again, he says, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, which you are, don't harden your hearts as in rebellion. I'm old enough to learn that sometimes people literally, you know, they'll procrastinate so much. They got to harden their heart. They got to put up a wall. Say, no, I'm not going to do this now, Lord. And I want to encourage you, tell you today is your day. This is your moment. This is your time. Stop muddling around and keep on saying, well, someday. Start today. Come on, I can and I will. Say that with me. Say, I can and I will. You're going to do it now. Stop the procrastination. Another one of the words that the Lord just dropped to me, I saw on that board, was the word self-doubt. Because self-doubt can kill your dreams and it can keep you from your destiny. I like Thomas Edison had this quote. He said, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Churchill said, success is the ability to go from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. In Exodus chapter 6, God was wanting to use Moses in a profound way to free the Israelites that had been held captive. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 9, Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of the discouragement and cruel bondage. Moses is talking to the people, and it's going right over their head. They don't care what he says. And the Lord says to Moses, in spite of all that, now I want you to go to the person that's holding them in bondage, Pharaoh, tell him to let the Israelites go. And Moses says to the Lord, if the Israelites won't listen to me, why will Pharaoh listen to me? I speak with faltering lips. Moses' self-doubt came about in his life through the past experiences that tried to define who he was. If he listened to them, he would have never gone to do what God had called him to do. He would have stopped. Some of you have stopped because of past failures. Some of you have stopped because of past mistakes. Some of you have stopped because of whatever it is. But God says, this is the day where you need to move past the past experiences and trust God who is living inside of you to raise you up and to use you in the dimension that he has called you to do. We have a group of people that I felt the Lord to bring together. There's actually 17 people that I spoke to. I felt the Lord, anybody that has taught or preaches or teaches a Bible study, bring them together and just mentor them for an hour. We did it several weeks ago. Did it the only night that would work. It was a Friday night. And 17 of these people came out. And I said this to them. I said, when somebody comes to you and says, man, that was great, don't say things like, oh, it wasn't me, it was just God. You know, I know that we think that we are, you know, we're just to put ourselves down. God empowers an individual. You know, the crazy thing about this life walking with God is that he wants to launch you forward, put you out front, but yet you don't take any of the glory for it. So I said to them, instead of saying something like that, say thank you and move on. Don't let flattering attach itself to you, but don't put yourself down like you're no good. Too many times people have been told, you're no good, you're a worm, you're worthless, you're useless. I've come to tell you what the Bible tells. Greater is he that is inside of you than he that is in the world. You are the front. You are not behind. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. For the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Sorry, I'm just feeling this right now. And self-doubt may come, but you got to learn that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Jesus that is drawing you and leading you into greater places and giving you more opportunities. And if Moses had not believed that God would help him, he would have never seen the fulfillment of what the Lord had called him to. C.S. Lewis said, too often like children who settle for playing in mud puddles when the beauty and the immensity of the ocean are just a few feet away. Come on, get out of the mud and get your feet in that warm, hot sand today. Ooh, look at that up in there now, right now. My last point, I'm going to close in just a moment. This is something that stuck out to me, and I know it's such a broad subject that I can in a few moments explain it or define it, but that is that feeling of loneliness. I'm confident that there's not a person in this building right now or maybe listening to me later that has not dealt with this feeling at one time or another. It doesn't develop overnight. It could be a result of a lifetime of different influences that shape our personalities. It could come to us after a trauma or a transition or a loss. And we could be unaware of some forces that are doing that create that in our lives. Social factors contribute to it. Modern technology has kept people from being together with other people. Say, you know, people tell me, well, you know, my church is on TV. No, your church is not on TV. Nobody called that TV when your brother got thrown in jail or your mother died. Nobody called that. You need a body of believers that you can cling to and do life together with. Come on, you ought to amen better than that. And loneliness can really just grasp hold of you. How do you deal with it? You gotta fight the urge to isolate. You gotta learn to move towards others. I read this story and I saw this picture this week of this poor little sheep. He wandered away from the herd and he was gone 6 years. 6 years. He was carrying all that weight. He was carrying all that guilt and shame around him, just going around sheep, sheep. But he was found. I should have got a picture of what he looked like afterwards. It only took the shepherd 20 minutes to shave off all that extra weight, all that extra guilt, all that extra shame. You know what the reality is? Don't bear your burdens alone. You need people in your life. The people aren't all going to be perfect. They're not going to just fit in your box of what people should be. But you and I need one another. Come on, I said, you and I need one another. And only, Pastor Tommy Barnett told me, only one of you has to move. What do? We become vulnerable. We need to learn that not, you know, everybody doesn't have it together. In fact, nobody has it all together. Nobody. Some of you got to adjust your halo right when I said that. I understand, but get it. It's okay. Nobody has it together. Be vulnerable. You know what I've learned? When you take the mask off and you allow people to see inside of you, you become more attractive. Change your thinking. Quit listening to the old reruns of who you used to be and what somebody said you were that play negative thoughts in your head. Then learn to pray and trust the Lord. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy burdened, I'll give you rest. I'll help you with that attitude of loneliness. Take my yoke on you. Learn from me. I'm gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden, he says, is light. I want to believe with you for this season in your life. I'm going to close with this last thought. I felt this just come over my heart when I was putting this and writing this together. I heard the words, there are more with us than there are against us. I looked at that Old Testament scripture in 2 Kings chapter 6 where Elisha had been getting under the skin of a man by the he was called the king of Aram. The Bible says that Elisha the prophet would tell the king of Judah, they said, he tells things that the king of Aram talks about in his bedroom and nobody else knows about it. This made him furious. He wanted to capture Elisha. He wanted to have him killed. And the Bible says that he sent his army out to him. And when the servant of Elisha got up in the morning, he went out to look. He saw horses and chariots that had surrounded him. And he went in to Elisha. He says, oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? Elisha gets up, takes a little sip of his Starbucks with two shots of espresso in it. Shakes himself a little. He looked back at him and he said, son, there are more for us than there are that are against us. And then the Bible says he prayed. And he says this. He said, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. And this is for some of you today. Your eyes are wide open, but sometimes, in fact, I want you just to close your eyes now, because when your eyes are closed, maybe you can see something beautiful for your future. Maybe you can see your destiny coming into clear view. The Bible says, open his eyes so he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and the Bible says, he looked out. And though he had all these chariots and horsemen that were against him, as he looked out a second time, he saw the army of the Lord surrounding them. I want to tell somebody today, you may have everything in life against you. You may have been born in a family that is dysfunctional. The only friends you have is the ones who are harming you and hurting you. But I want to tell you today, under the authority of the word of Almighty God, there are more for you than there are against you today. Father, I pray right now, as our eyes are closed, that you are opening the window of our spirit to see what we haven't seen before. There are more that are for us than there are against us. We can overcome procrastination. We can overcome self-doubt. We can overcome loneliness in our lives. Prayer people, come on down to the altar. I'm going to close. God, I just want to say thank you today for your working in every single life. Have your way. I pray that today, Lord, those who have felt prompted and moved upon by your Holy Spirit, that they will not say tomorrow or another time, this will be their moment. This will be their day. I pray, God, your blessing, favor over every life today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said a big amen today.